Certainly appreciate the presence of each and every one, and if you would keep your Bibles opened up there to Luke chapter 2, we're going to spend our time there this morning as we take some time to explore some valuable lessons from the childhood of Jesus. I appreciate the good reading that Steve gave to us there from Luke chapter 2. I appreciate the prayer that Mike led us in a few moments ago and the song that Max led us in as we raised our voice in song and praise to our Almighty God. It's interesting to note, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but there in Luke chapter 2, this is the only inspired record of the childhood of Jesus. You aware of that? The only inspired record of the childhood of Jesus that we're going to find in the Holy Writ is here in Luke chapter 2. And here we see where we have divine revelation given to us in regard to the childhood of Jesus. And we learn here in Luke chapter 2 that Steve just read for us a few moments ago there from verses 41 through 52 that Jesus, at this time, he's 12 years old. Think about that. 12 years old. That's an important age, isn't it? Just getting ready to become a teenager. Starting to get ready to mature. And here we find Jesus being 12 years old while he went up to Jerusalem with his parents. And although we do not have a lot of detailed information given to us in the scriptures about the childhood of Jesus, we do have some very valuable information given to us here in Luke chapter 2 about the childhood of Jesus. And it's because of that I want to encourage us all, especially our younger folks. I want to encourage you to have an open Bible here in Luke 2 this morning as we take some time to explore some valuable lessons from the childhood of Jesus. And let's begin by noting, as we explore the childhood of Jesus here in Luke chapter 2, that one valuable lesson that can be gained is we learn as a child Jesus was privileged to have devout, godly, and loving parents. You see, we learn about his parents being devout, godly servants of the Lord, jumping up there to verse 39 of Luke 2, when it's recorded in reference to them that when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord. You see that? Here we learn that Jesus had parents who performed all things according to the law of the Lord. Simply put, Jesus was privileged to be brought up by devout, godly parents. We see that in verse 41, the fact that they went to Jerusalem. Why? To observe the Passover feast. Again, they were keeping the commandments of the Lord. And it was a command for the men to observe this feast. And here we see that as this command, as they went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, that at this time when Jesus was 12, he went with them. And that is setting a good example for Jesus. I want us to think about that for a moment. I want us to think about the fact that parents have a grave responsibility before them to be setting the proper example for their children to follow. And I want us to realize the fact that Jesus, he was privileged to have devout, godly parents who served the Lord. He was privileged to have parents who brought him up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And children, I want you to listen up for a moment. I want you to realize how privileged you are to have parents who are devout, godly servants of the Lord. And never take that for granted, children. Don't ever take that for granted. Recognize how privileged you are to have parents who are striving to bring you up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And what a privilege it is for children to have godly parents who faithfully serve the Lord, who strive to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Jesus had that. He had that. And as parents, we too need to strive to give our children that. We need to be setting the proper example for our children to follow, just as Jesus' parents did. We also see the fact that not only was he privileged to have such godly and devout parents who served the Lord, but he also had loving parents. This can be seen in the fact that even in the expression in verse number 48, when Jesus was found in the temple, and Mary said to him, "Your father and I have sought you anxiously." They went a few days without Jesus. They didn't really know where he was for those few days. Could you imagine that? As a parent, fortunately, I've never lost my children. I hope I never do. But I have had moments where one's gotten out of sight for a few minutes. And I started to become kind of anxious, thinking, "Oh, where did Brantley go?" I remember when Brantley was about 7 months old, first started crawling. I took my eyes off of him for a couple of minutes when I was on dad duty and looked around. Brantley wasn't nowhere around. I was like, "Where did Brantley go?" I happened to get up and look, and he's halfway up our staircase. You talk about your heart about to sink. I can only begin to imagine what Jesus' parents felt when he was missing for a few days. For more than 3 days, he was not with them. And because of that, Mary pointed out the fact that they anxiously sought him. Their love can be seen in the fact that they're seeking their child who they've been lost. Their love can be seen in the fact that they set the proper example for him to follow and bringing him up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And we need to be mindful, parents, of the need to strive to be like the parents of Jesus. Parents who are devout, godly, and loving. But another lesson that can be gained here from the text in Luke 2 in regard to the childhood of Jesus is we see that as a child, Jesus desired to learn more about spiritual matters. This can be seen in verse number 43 of Luke 2. In the fact that he lingered behind in Jerusalem. Think about that. You see, Jesus again is at the age of 12 years old. And it's important to note that as Jewish custom, it would be required of boys at 13 to start to keep the commandments of the law. And Jesus would have been required at 13 to attend the Passover. At 12, he wasn't required. But we see here that he lingered back in Jerusalem. Why did he do that? Because he had that strong desire to learn more about spiritual matters. And you think about it at this time. What greater place to learn about spiritual matters than Jerusalem, right? What greater place for Jesus to be able to learn about spiritual matters than that of Jerusalem? And we see that he lingered back in Jerusalem. He sought teachers of the law. And what did he do? He sat in their midst. And he was immersed in the listening of the teachers with a great desire to learn, asking questions. Valuable lesson, young people. Valuable lesson. The need to recognize that you need to learn about spiritual matters. And to have that desire that Jesus had as a child to learn about spiritual matters. You see, young people, you can never be too young to learn about God. And you need to be important. You need to recognize the importance of learning about God and learning about spiritual matters. And you need to strive to be as Jesus. When he was a child who had that desire to sit among teachers, who had that desire to listen to them, who had that desire to ask them questions so that he can learn more. who had that desire to immerse himself in spiritual matters. And as we see going on, Jesus, he, as a child, he sat and he listened to these teachers of the law. He asked them questions. He provided outstanding answers. You see, when Joseph and Mary departed to go back home, and they realized that Jesus wasn't with them, when they came back to Jerusalem, where did they find him? In the temple, didn't they? Found him in the temple. Found him sitting there among teachers. And what was he doing? He was listening to them. He was asking them questions. And not only did he listen to his teachers and ask them questions, but he also provided outstanding answers to them, didn't he? This is seen in the fact that in verse 47, where it says, "And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." Think about that. Here's the lesson of application for you young people. I want you to be mindful of the fact that teachers, your Bible class teachers, they rejoice in having students who listen attentively to the lessons that's being taught and who ask questions and provide answers to their questions. See, Jesus did that. He listened attentively to his teachers. He asked them questions. He provided answers. And young people, do you realize that your Bible class teachers, they rejoice when they recognize that you're paying attention, when you're listening, and you're participating? You see, questions indicate an active mind, and they stimulate a classroom. And young people, you need to take a lesson from Jesus when he was a child. You need to be young people who are attentive to the things that are being taught to you. You need to ask questions. What greater way to learn than to ask questions? I love it when Billy and TJ come up to me and say, "Hey Brad, I got a question for you in regard to spiritual matters." That delights me. I rejoice in that. It's great. I love it when I have the privilege to sit in the teenage class and students like Casey are well prepared. And they provide outstanding answers to the questions that's been asked. Rejoice in that. And may you young people realize the need to listen to your teachers. Ask them questions. Do your study. And be willing and able to provide outstanding answers. But another lesson that we can learn from Jesus as a child is the fact that he understood the necessity of doing the will of his Father in heaven. Think about this. At 12 years old, Jesus understood the necessity of doing the Father in heaven's will. We see this there in verse number 49. And again, as his mother found him sitting in the temple, she said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." But notice Jesus' response in verse 49 to her. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Did they understand what Jesus said to them at this time? They didn't understand. Read the next verse. Verse 50 tells us that they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. But here, Jesus, first and foremost, he declares his divinity by telling that he must be about his Father's business. And he also denotes the fact that at 12, he knew what his purpose was, didn't he? He knew that his purpose was to be about his Father's business. And he saw the Father's will as being more important than anything else. How many of you young people would be willing to stay back for a few days and sit at the feet of teachers of the law that you could learn more about God and spiritual matters as Jesus did when he was 12? Let me put it this way. How many of you young people would be willing to go ahead and skip lunch today and sit here and as we continue to talk about spiritual matters the rest of the night? How many young people would be willing to do that? I should say that probably not too many of you would be willing to do that, would you? But Jesus, he was willing to do that. He was willing to put the Father's will before anything else. And that's a lesson that young people need to be mindful of today. The need to be willing to put the Father in heaven's will before anything else. Because ultimately, it's the Father's will and being obedient to the Father's will that matters the most. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does what? He who does the will of my Father in heaven." Remember that, young people. Understand the necessity of doing the will of our Father in heaven. Prioritize that. And make doing the Father's will the number one importance in your life. Just as Jesus did. Understand the necessity of doing the Father's will. Just as Jesus did. And realize that it is more important than anything else. But another valuable lesson that can be gained from the text here in Luke 2 in regard to the childhood of Jesus is, as a child, Jesus understood his duty to his parents and he was obedient to them. I want us to notice that there beginning in verse number 51. And we see that after Jesus was found, that he went down with them, that being his parents, and came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. Some translations simply read, he was obedient to them, or he obeyed them. And here we see that Jesus, he realized his duty to his parents. When he was found, what did he do? He went down with them and went back home, and he obeyed them. He obeyed them. You see, as a boy, Jesus furnishes a great example of obedience to his parents that all children should imitate. Think about that, young people. Paisley, Reese, Brantley, Devin, Anna, young people. Next time mom and dad tells you to do something and you wonder why you should do it, I want you to remember that you need to do it because Jesus set the proper example for you to do it. And I want you to remember that even Jesus, as a child, obeyed his parents. And because of that, you too, as children, need to obey your parents. Jesus set a great example for all children to imitate. And young people, I want you to remember something else. I want you to remember that your role in making your home a happy and godly home, it relies upon you obeying and honoring your parents. You got a role to play, children, in the home. Your role is to be children who honor, that is, respect and obey your parents. And I want us to be mindful that just as Jesus was subject, that is, just as he obeyed his parents, may children today likewise seek to do the same. But another valuable lesson that can be seen from the childhood of Jesus is the fact that we see there in verse 52, which, by the way, verse 52, this is all that we have a record of the next 18 years of Jesus. This is all we got. This verse here in verse 52 where it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." First thing we see here is Jesus matured intellectually as he increased in wisdom. You see, although Jesus was human as well as divine, he was still subject to the same law of growth and development as any other. And with him, as with others, wisdom increased with the years. How many times have you heard that before? The older you get, the wiser you get. There's a lot of truth to that statement, isn't there? A lot of truth to that statement. And here we see in verse 52 that Jesus, he increased in wisdom. He increased with wisdom as the years went on. It's important to note that wisdom goes before knowledge of the facts to an understanding of not just what is, but of what counts. Remember that, young people. Wisdom, it goes just be farther than just having knowledge of the facts. It goes farther than just having the facts of understanding of what is. But it also involves that of what counts. Jesus, he matured intellectually as he increased in wisdom. And you want to know something? How we can mature intellectually and increase in wisdom, some channels that can be taken to accomplish that. First and foremost, young people, this happens through the channels of instruction, study, and thought. Keep studying. BJ. Keep meditating upon what you're thinking about. Keep asking questions. Because that's how you're going to increase in wisdom and how you're going to mature intellectually. By exercising those avenues of instruction, study, and thought. But we also see here that Jesus not only matured intellectually, but he also matured physically as he increased in stature. Again, we have an example here where Jesus, he grew and developed just like any other man. He grew and developed just like any other man. He increased in stature as he matured physically. Again, picking on BJ there, he's a young man that is still growing. Think about that. Think about how tall he is already. But he's not done yet. He's still maturing physically. He's going to continue to increase in stature. And here Jesus, he did that. He did that as just any of the rest of us are going to do. But here's the lesson, young people, that I want us to take from this point. I want us to take this lesson of the point of the need to recognize that it's important to attend to your physical health. You see, young people, as you continue to grow, as you continue to mature physically, I want you to be mindful of your physical health. I want you to be mindful of the need to attend to your physical health. I want you to be mindful of just how important your physical bodies are. This lesson can be learned there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to write this down. I want you to read that later. Here's you an assignment. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 18 through 20. There Paul tells children of God that, hey, their bodies, it's not their own. It's not their own. He tells them the importance of recognizing the need to honor and give glory to God with your body. And I want us to understand that, young people, as you continue to mature physically and increase in stature. Be mindful to recognize the importance of your physical bodies. And be mindful to realize the need to attend to your physical well-being. But another lesson that we see here is the fact that Jesus not only matured intellectually and as he increased in wisdom, not only did he mature physically as he grew and increased in stature, but he also matured spiritually as he grew and increased in favor with God. Some of you may be thinking, well, how can we do that? You want to know how you can do that? This happens when your capacity for the spiritual increases. So will your favor with God. Think about that. The more we desire knowledge and understanding of spiritual matters, the more that we begin to increase intellectually in our wisdom and understanding of spiritual matters, simply put, the more our capacity for spiritual matters increase, the more we will increase in favor with God. Think about that. Make proper application of that. And may we all, whether young or old, seek to increase in favor with God. But we also see that Jesus not only increased in favor with God, but he increased in favor with men. You see, Jesus matured socially as he increased in favor with men. And again, some of you may be thinking, well, how can this be accomplished? How can I increase my social status? How can I increase in favor with men? You want to know how that can be accomplished? That can be accomplished when you do the right things and you let your light so shine before men. You see, as you do the right things, it will validate you before the people around you. You aware of that? You aware of that? You aware of the fact that young people, that when you're doing the right things, when you're behaving as God would have you to behave, and you're letting your light so shine before those that are around you, that others around you is going to take notice of that, and it's going to validate you before then. See, when I think about that, I can't help but to think about what Titus' instruction to the young men was there in Titus chapter 2. And there in Titus chapter 2, as Paul exhorted Titus to exhort the young men to be sober-minded, he says in verse 7, "In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned." Now watch this. "That one who is opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." Take note of that, young people. Remember that when you show yourself to be a pattern of good works, when you have reverence and sound speech that cannot be condemned, even those who may be opposed will be ashamed and they'll have nothing evil to say of you. Hold on to that lesson. And remember that just as Jesus matured socially as he increased in favor with men, that you too can do the same by making proper application of that instruction that we just read in Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Brethren, I hope that we all recognize and appreciate what a great example Jesus was even as a child. Because even as a child, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ served as a great example. And I encourage all the young people here today to hold on to these valuable lessons that can be gained from the childhood of Jesus. And I encourage you, young people, to strive to be those who imitate the valuable lessons that can be gained here from the childhood of Jesus. Maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour. For you have heard the Word of God, and if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can turn from sin and turn to God this very hour. You can confess Jesus Christ before men, and you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. You can put off that old man of sin. You can be buried with Christ through baptism, and you can be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in the newness of life. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus has promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. Maybe you've got sin in your life, and you're in need of making correction of that. We encourage you to recognize, as we talked about in our adult Bible class this morning, the need to confess your sins and the need to repent of them. And if you'd like to submit the congregation here prayers on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning, he'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song, Max's Letter.